Welcome to the Tuned In Outdoors podcast, where a passion for sharing the gospel and God's great outdoors comes together. Here's this week's edition of Tuned In Outdoors.
Hey everybody, welcome to Tuned In Outdoors. This is your host Clint Remington. We have an awesome guest with us here this episode, and that is the one and only Mara Renfro.
The legendary.
Yeah. I think the biggest problem is going to have, or I'm going to have, is keeping Remington
contained.
Yeah.
I noticed you put us on opposite sides of the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is an exciting episode. Not only do we have my wife on, but this is our Veterans Day episode, and we've got some big stuff coming up this weekend. One of our favorite ways to, honor veterans on Veterans Day weekend, and that's the big Peterson deer hunt.
Yeah.
But Veterans Day honestly means a lot. We've actually got a veteran sitting in the room with us. He doesn't, we don't get to tell him very often, but we really appreciate your service and everything you've done for us.
Yeah.
And we appreciate all the veterans that served for this country.
Yeah.
But, Peterson's, I mean, that's kind of our little way of saying thank you, I guess, is taking these veterans out and putting them on a big old deer.
Yeah.
And,
it's an awesome time, whether it's a deer hunt, a turkey hunt, or fishing trip, whatever. Just getting a lot of these guys out and telling them, you know, as prior service guy, a lot of these guys, they've been through and seen a lot more than I ever did.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's just a great way to show people that we appreciate their sacrifice and
exactly.
All the stuff that they went through. And you know, actually, Tiffany sent me something today. It was something she's seen online. It was on the back of a shirt. But when she sent it, it rained really true. And this is what the shirt said. Only two defining forces have ever offered to die for you. Jesus Christ and the American soldier. One died for your soul. The other died for your freedom. And
that hits pretty hard.
Yeah, that's good.
It's good.
That's good stuff right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And that's the absolute truth. These guys have seen some stuff that I absolutely can't even fathom being around. And honestly, it's the absolute very least we could do to take them out and show them a good time and show them that we love them. They deserve so much more than that, for sure. But
well, and the cool thing, and you know, we've talked about it before, but a lot of these guys, especially when we had those law enforcement officers up there at the lodge a couple months ago, a lot of these guys don't even realize that the majority of America does appreciate them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, really, you know, can't say enough about them.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, with our culture and media, they don't see that. They don't hear, especially depending upon where they live.
Yep.
And so for these guys to come from all over the country down here to God's country.
To nowhere, Missouri.
Yeah. The heartland of America. It's pretty amazing to them to see that there are people here that do appreciate what they do and their sacrifice. And that's really what Peterson's is all about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not to mention they keep their... It's a Christian-based ministry. I mean, they keep their faith throughout the whole thing, no matter what. Honestly, the deer and the kill or whatever it may be is a very, very small part of the experience they have.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just the icing on the top of the cake.
That's exactly it. So you do a lot with Peterson's, too. I mean, you get to help out. What this last year you've got put in charge of a lot of the female hunts.
Recently we had our Crossroad women's hunt, and we had two female veterans. So I've gotten to see kind of both perspectives of Peterson's, from like going with Remington to the men's hunts and being able to help like in the kitchen and with the wives of the veterans, and then now I get to help with the women's hunting, and we take women veterans and this year we had one who got to kill a big, nice buck.
It's a good deer.
Some awesome things just happened in the blind, and it's a really cool experience.
That was awesome. That was awesome. Yeah. I know my mom.
Yeah.
She was actually in the blind filming on the hunt. And that she called me. We were actually in Colorado guiding out there. And she calls me, and they were so excited. I was catching about every other word what they had to say.
The way the buck came in and everything, she was like, this was God. Like,
yeah.
We were so loud, and the buck just came right on in. She's like, it hopped right over the fence.
Sometimes I have no doubt about it. There are those times where God just intervenes because he knows that's what needed to happen. Need.
Yeah. That's
absolutely.
Because the thing is we're out there on these hunts, and 90% of the time, we don't check the wind to see which way the wind's blowing.
Right.
Usually the wind's blowing right at the deer.
Yeah.
And they still come in, and they, these veterans still harvest some of the best whitetail Missouri has to offer. I mean, they're just phenomenal caliber deer.
And the cool thing about that hunt, especially if you guys are being loud, and, you know, and if the wind was bad, is it was a crossbow kill.
Yeah.
You know, so how far was it when?
I think she said it was within 20.
Yeah, jeez. It wasn't. Yeah, he was seriously. He even like looked like on the whole video. He came in, was just having a good time. Hops over the fence towards them, like, and they're like, does he have enough?
Because it's a four-point restriction.
Four-point restriction. And they're like, can't see in the binoculars and trying to figure it out the whole time. They're like, I don't know. I can't tell.
They're probably talking just like that.
Probably.
And yeah, he came right to them. And it was
so cool.
Awesome.
I am going to rat you out, though, a little bit. Because one of the first hunts that I remember you going on through Peterson's, you had a female veteran. It was during just one of their big deer hunts. You know, there's men and women.
Oh, yeah.
And the first day, the first morning set, they seen several deer or whatever. But all the girls came back to the blind and said, we officially figured out how loud you could be in a blind before you scared a deer.
I think it was, did you know you're allowed to talk?
Yeah. Prior to that, it's all quiet and
Well, when you get four girls in a blind, you're gonna have some talking.
So you guys had quite the conversations, it sounds like, in there. But it was awesome.
Which is the purpose of the whole thing. So it's awesome.
One of my favorite, and I don't remember who said it. It was on one of their videos. But the main part of Peterson's is not what's outside the blind, it's all about what's inside.
Right.
Yeah. And that's just, I always thought that was really cool, because that's exactly how they run that. It's awesome.
That's amazing.
But we're very fortunate to be able to do that. And
I'm looking forward to this weekend. I think, and you know, the way the rut is working right now, I think we're going to hit it at a perfect time.
Yeah, it is absolute perfect timing. Up until the last few days, all I've seen was younger bucks chasing, other than a few different occasions, I guess. But mostly the younger bucks were still chasing all last week.
Right.
This week, I think it's really starting to kick up.
Yeah.
The mature bucks are found them a hot doe, and it should be on. Honestly, this should be one of the best rifle seasons Missouri has had, I would think, as far as timing goes.
I don't know if I told you guys, but, or maybe I told you, Remington, last week when we were heading from Joplin, I picked up Bree Lynn from gymnastics, and we were headed to the airport. Smack dab in the middle of Joplin, there was probably a 140 buck chasing a doe in the middle of Joplin. And he wasn't like chasing him down range line or anything, but
it sounds
off
like
to the probably quarter of a mile off a range line, there was this little pasture area, and he was chasing her all over. I wanted to shoot that thing so bad.
it sounds like we got some door knocking to do.
Yeah.
We need to figure out who owns that and how we can become close with them.
Yeah.
So you guys last week did a little urban hunting.
Yeah.
You guys had the annual airport hunt.
Yeah.
It was it was a little rougher than expected.
In the past, I mean, it's always just, I always say, a slaughter fest, because that's pretty much what it is.
It is. When we go down there, it's eradication. It's not a hunt necessarily.
Right. The deer crowd this airport and makes problems for the pilots and stuff, so we try to go down there and thin them out. And this year, my goodness, I mean, we were in deer. We seen deer every day, and honestly, I think there was only one sit that we didn't see any, but it was difficult. I mean, honestly, there was, if they could come in a way that it was impossible to get a shot, that's what they did.
They were going
to
do it.
Yeah. I don't know. It was, I'm not sure what was going on. They didn't act skittish. They didn't act scared, but they weren't in their normal pattern. They didn't expose themselves hardly at all.
Stayed, you know, normally, thick stuff. Yeah, it's thick and nasty.
It's really thick in there, especially in certain areas. There's no way. I mean, we had deer anywhere from 30 to 40 yards multiple times, and there was just no way. And it was a really cool hunt for me. I took my daughter, Bree Lynn, that was the first time that she actually went hunting for herself. She's been with me in the past, but she never really wanted to shoot one. Mm-hmm. And this last summer, just shooting her bow, she wanted to go. And so I had high hopes that she was going to kill one, and it just didn't work out. But the cool thing I really appreciated about it is when it was done, we were walking back, and she's like, "Dad, I know we didn't kill one, but it was still a lot of fun."
Yeah. Aww. And she's wanting to do it again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, any moment I could say, "Hey, let's go," and she's ready
awesome.
To go.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
That's parenting done right. That's how all kids should be raised, right?
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
So, I guess saying that to say this, this is actually my question of the week, and I'm sure hunting. So my question of the week, actually, let's rewind. My question of the week is, what does hunting mean to you? And I have a feeling for you, there's, I guess, a lot deeper connection to hunting than just going out there and killing something, it sounds like.
Yeah. You know, growing up in Colorado, my dad taught me to hunt, so I would hunt with him. But when I got to the age to where I could hunt by myself, mm-hmm. That's what I did. And I spent years hunting by myself, and, you know, a lot of successful hunts. It was a good time, loved it. But here recently, as I started to learn how to hunt elk better, I come to find out it's always better to work in pairs.
Yeah.
And it helps make the hunt more successful, but at the same time, it is good to hunt with someone, especially if they're a good buddy, you know, like you and me and Dustin and, you know, younger when my dad would go. It adds a whole new meaning to it when you're hunting with...
When you can share that harvest
with family
or even just an adventure of some sort.
Oh, yeah.
With a friend.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. And I think what you were saying earlier, being able to take my kids out like my dad did with me and your dad did with you, I just love being in the woods with them. Yeah. It's just so cool to spend time in the woods and let them experience things that probably 99.9% of kids don't get to see or experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't even have to be hunting, just like when we went fishing up in Colorado this year, taking Hoyt, and, you know, he did stuff that the majority of adults couldn't even do or would want to do. And so for an 8-year-old to be able to go up there and accomplish that, that was a big deal for him.
Yeah.
And as his dad, it was a big deal for me too. And so, yeah, it's just being out there and, you know, experiencing God's creation with friends and family, and that's what it's all about for me.
It's been cool the last few years watching Hoyt just mature and change, I guess not really change his style of hunting, but change his like attitude towards hunting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he loves the hunt now, it seems like, and he's not, I guess, necessarily all about the kill.
Right.
It's a big part of it, but he just, you can tell he truly just absolutely loves to be out there, and that's really cool to see.
Well, and to be honest with you, I wasn't sure how last weekend was going to go because this was the first time I had both kids at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And Hoyt, he spent the last 3 years killing deer and just loved it. And now it was his sister's turn. And he didn't come in, he didn't get down there until late Saturday night. And the only day he really had a chance to go out with us was, I guess he didn't go out Sunday morning, but he went out Sunday night. And he didn't go Monday morning. But what I appreciated about him was there was no selfishness for him to kill.
Yeah.
Or for him to, you know, sitting in the blind and whining because he wasn't able to shoot or he wasn't able to carry the crossbow or whatever. He just loved being out there with his dad and his sister and
that's so cool.
That is awesome.
Keeping the two of them in a blind together, quiet. Luckily, Hoyt was exhausted from soccer and all that, so he pretty much...
He was mellowed out a little
bit. Yeah, he was mellowed out. In fact, I had to move some chairs, and he laid down on the ground and slept for a while. But, yeah, that was really cool. I wasn't sure how that was going to go. I mean, he's a great, great kid, but... Yeah, you know, it's easy to want to be that person that's squeezing the trigger and he didn't care at all.
That's awesome.
So I'm excited to hear your answer. What does hunting mean to you?
I feel like hunting to me just means like being together with people. Like whether it's like on a Peterson hunt, like we take veterans and we get to be with all these people who want to share Jesus with these women. Or, like, growing up, I always went hunting with my dad, and my whole family basically went opening weekend.
It's kind of a family tradition.
Yeah. We would, we milked cows, and so we'd all go to the barn together, and then we'd get done milking, and it'd be me, my dad, my uncle, my cousins, my sisters, and we would all go, and dad would drop us off at different places, and... We'd all be out there, and pretty much it's just like hopefully somebody kills something. And so that's just like that togetherness. And then now, obviously, I go hunting with Remington all the time, way more than I ever did. And I feel like it draws us closer together, and just even if it's not even hunting, like getting ready for the hunts, like him going to Colorado, like getting bags packed and going to academy and buying all those last minute things, or, you know, just spending that time together. And then obviously in the woods or on a road trip and with friends and family. So I don't know. It just means being together and
that's awesome.
Good time.
That's a good answer right there.
Yeah.
So what's yours?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Top that.
those are some pretty dang good answers. To me, it's a lifestyle. If I didn't hunt, I honestly don't know what I would do. I would have so much free time. I mean, I don't think I could do anything else. I couldn't take up frisbee golf or anything like that, you know.
Frisbee golf is awesome.
I couldn't do that. I've got to hunt something. And not only is it a lifestyle, it's a source of food. I mean, it keeps me from having to go to a grocery store and buying my meat, and I know where my meat comes from, and I know that it was harvested humanely as possible. You know, I know it, where it was raised, what it ate growing, what I grew for it, you know. And then like you guys were saying, it's a bond between your friends. Like, honestly, it doesn't matter to me who pulls the trigger on a hunt. I just want to be a part of it, and I want to share those experiences with both you guys and Dustin and whoever I hunt with, these veterans we're getting ready to hunt with. I've got hours and hours and hours, maybe days of memories that I could just reflect on different hunts, you know. I could go to the house and look up on the wall and see all these deer heads and be like, I could tell you the exact day I shot that buck, what it was doing outside, and who I was with, you know. And it's just, it is such an awesome thing. And I don't know, I just, it's a lot of things to me. But yeah.
I think you're the same way too. You're probably sick and tired of me saying this. You've heard me say it. Everybody will come up like, you know, how's your deer season going? Have you killed anything? And honestly, I just have to tell them I have not hunted for myself at all this year. And
well, you came out of guide season to go guide for your kids.
Right.
And
yeah.
Your guide,
but
guide
that's, for veterans. And I'm completely content with it.
Yeah. You haven't complained once about not pulling the trigger.
There's something so cool about, you know, usually when somebody books an outfitter to go on an elk hunt or like the Peterson thing, whatever, a lot of these guys, the reason why they're booking a hunt with us in Colorado is because they've never killed an elk before. They don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
I've had so many guys that book a hunt and then they'll say,
just to learn.
Yeah. I've hunted for 5 years. I've seen like one cow, or I've never seen an elk. I don't know what I'm doing. So that's why I'm here, is just to learn. And I love, because that's a dream for a lot of these guys, is to harvest an elk or a deer or a turkey or whatever. And whatever I can do to help bring that dream to a reality.
Exactly.
That to me is way beyond me killing that animal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really bugged me about, you know, not Bree Lynn not killing one yet, or this last weekend, was just because I wanted her to experience that. And it's going to happen. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
We'll, you know, we got time.
Yeah. You got plenty of time, but.
But yeah, there's just something so cool about it's taking people out.
Yeah.
It's such a mix of emotions. Like,
yeah, I feel like Remington, whenever I shoot something, is way more excited than when he shoots
something. I do.
Yeah. Like, he's jumping up and down higher than my head.
But a lot of people like get this misconception about hunters. They're just out there to kill animals and just shoot at animals and kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I honestly, and I've told you guys this year even, I get like remorse over taking the life of this animal, you know, and the only thing that's keeping me doing it is knowing that I know that animal died a lot easier death, and I know it's going to a good place than what it would have done in the wild.
Right.
But, like, there's been, this year alone, there's been several times where I've drawn back on does just for a freezer deer, and I just couldn't do it. I don't know what it was. I couldn't. Call me a sis or whatever, but I let the bow down because I was like, I just don't need to kill her.
Yeah.
But I do. I get way more excited when you shoot stuff than when I shoot stuff. I don't know. I get pretty excited when I shoot stuff too.
Yeah.
But I don't know. How many times have you been thrown over my shoulders and spun around after you shoot something?
Yeah. That's awesome.
My favorite is like the turkey hunt we went on, my very first turkey hunt with you and your dad
at the farm.
The first time I saw you like so excited about.
Yeah.
that was like one of the hunts that I was like, yep, this is the girl I'm gonna marry, this is her. Because it's absolutely the worst turkey day ever. Like,
it was raining
all day.
It was
cold,
freezing
cold.
And it was my first time turkey hunting, I think.
Yeah, it was your very first turkey hunt ever.
Yeah.
And I have this girl belly crawling across thistle patches to get to these birds. And she's, I mean, soaking wet. Everything's wet on us. And ends up smoking this bird. Yeah. And,
we're going to belly crawl. I was like, what?
I was like, because we ran like, out of timber to stay behind, you know? Right. And I was like, we're going to have to belly crawl.
And your dad's looking at me like, oh, gosh.
Yeah, she's either going to leave him right now or she's going to be with him forever. And she ends up shooting this bird, and I picked she up over my shoulders, and I was like so stoked. That was awesome.
I love the fact that you guys do hunt as much as you do together. It's like your vacation time. I mean, you guys travel state to state and go hunt turkeys, and there's so many. Like Tiffany, she's been with me a few times, and she has no problem with me being gone and all that, and I love her for it. I just think it's really cool that you guys do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like your thing.
Yeah. I always joke and tell people, well, I wouldn't see him if I didn't go.
Yeah. I mean,
I love it.
There's probably a lot of truth to that, though. But no, we absolutely enjoy hunting with each other. And like on these hunts we go on, sometimes it doesn't work out that way, but usually, like, we harvest first and then we go sightsee and go explore and just do different things. And we've had some dandy adventures.
Yeah. I'm getting stuck.
So we've met some interesting people and had some dandy adventures on some of these hunts.
Yeah.
We went, well, this year alone, when we went bear hunting in Arkansas, plans had changed. We ended up not getting a house like we thought we were going to stay in.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to drive like 2 hours in the National Forest to find a place to pull over and sleep in the back of the car.
Yeah. Oh, after buying blankets at Dollar General.
Yeah, we bought, and these people thought we were homeless, I'm sure.
Yeah. And they're like, are you wanting to sleep in the, like, a tent or in the car?
And we didn't have any food because he kind of told us, he's like, they're cooking for you, you know? And so we didn't expect to bring any food. So we go to Dollar General, and all I can find that was even remotely close to like something that would fill me up was a can of like buffalo chicken. Yeah, buffalo chicken, but it was in a wrapper and then it was in a can, and it came with like some little bitty crackers and a wooden spoon. Have you ever seen those?
Yeah.
And so here we are in the car at the Dollar General parking lot eating buffalo chicken, and I don't remember what you had, but
it was
a bag of jerky or something.
Yeah. Beef jerky.
Yeah. Like, how many? Who would do? You know?
Yeah.
I found my match. Yeah. It was awesome. We've got some great memories, but
for sure
that's cool.
So kind of. One thing we were planning on talking, I think this conversation kind of, this question kind of went kind of way off or whatever, but
right.
we've been talking about it for some time, and I honestly call it the God talk, but and Tiffany brought it up to you today or whatever, but I wanted to ask you guys, like, how does hunting, I guess, involve with your faith in God? Like, how do you see God while you're out there and hunting or fishing or whatever? I know I've got several things that I see whenever I'm out there, but how when you're out in the mountains or you're in the deer woods or turkey woods with me, how do you see God?
Well, I think for me, most of the time, like with our hunts, like, we're busy people, if you don't know that. And so whenever we decide to go on a hunt, it's like everything around us is mass chaos. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, well, we're going. Like, I mean, it might be tomorrow. We're going to go. Yeah. I think with our one turkey hunt we went on, it was like we planned it in 3 days and we're like, let's
Montana.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I feel like, and then once I, you know, get through that and get to wherever we're going and actually get out into the woods, it's just kind of like a breather, because for me, I'm very busy all the time, and I feel like just being in God's presence and realizing, like,
it's okay,
how
he's got
slow
this.
Yeah, and just like slowing down and relaxing and just, because I mean, you have a lot of quiet time and you have a lot of time to just sit there and think. And and then obviously, like, the scenery in itself, like, no matter where you're at, like, you're gonna get to see like
some of the prettiest sights in the world. Yeah,
it's like, how can you not believe in God if you can? Like, this is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know that that really answered the question, but
no, it was good.
No, that's
how I feel.
That's how it is for me. I mean, I like when we're up in Colorado and I see them mountains and know, like, how can you not believe in a God mm-hmm. you know, somebody made those mountains. I mean, mm-hmm. those mountains just didn't appear there. Mm-hmm. And know that the same God that made those mountains can also move them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just
good.
Yeah. It's just a, I don't know. Yeah. It's
even like when we went to Colorado after our one turkey hunt and we went and saw my sister or whatever, and you went fishing, and
yeah.
me and my sister went hiking, like, even though we weren't hunting, like, it's still...
You were outside, like, yeah.
Yeah, just being in the outdoors and seeing just, I don't know, it's magnificent.
Yeah.
I think you fell off a mountain on that hike, too. Or you fell... Somebody fell down and hurt themselves then.
I may have.
You did. Yeah.
Like, I forgot about
that. Apparently the concussion's still there.
I did. Or Randed it. I can't remember. Somebody did.
And then you guys had to look for me because I was up the river fishing.
Yeah, he met some guy and started talking to him about fishing because, of course, you know, you don't know a stranger.
Right.
And this guy's fishing. And
I was fishing, too.
Yeah, I know. But then you were, like, hanging out with this guy that was also fishing.
Yeah.
And so we walked, and he had the keys to the car. So we're like, I'm like, he probably, like, fell and is in this water, like, I was freaking out. Nope, he's just found a friend.
So back to the God talk.
My bad.
Squirrel.
Shouldn't have asked me to be here.
No, you're doing awesome. Is there anything that really stands out to you when you're in the woods or on the water to where you can just really see God in it?
Absolutely. And you guys just talked about just even, you know, nature itself, mm-hmm. and seeing God's creation. You know, growing up in Colorado, you know, sometimes you can take that stuff for granted, and mm-hmm. and but living in Oklahoma now, and I even, you know, even in the deer woods here, it's a completely different beauty. It's a completely different mm-hmm. creation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to see the diversity of God's creation is astounding. But for me, it's experiencing and seeing things that is stuff that a lot of people don't get to experience. And I don't know if that's really a spiritual thing or not, but kind of like what you were saying, Mara, is just when I'm in the woods, especially if I'm out like in Colorado for, you know, a week or two or whatever, you come back and there's almost like this sense of focus mm-hmm. that you didn't have when you left.
Yeah.
And everything makes a little bit more sense. And when you're in the woods, the way I hunt in Colorado, I mean, unless the elk are just tearing it up all day long, there's usually a downtime there where you, for 3-4 hours, where
you just sit on a mountain and nap.
Yeah. Or when the elk lay down, I lay down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'll sit there and, I remember one year I was hunting and I was just laying in this aspen grove, and I got on my phone and I was flipping through something, and I came across the Elevation Church app.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of Elevation. Didn't know who Stephen Furtick was. And so I click on it, and I didn't have any headphones. I wasn't even thinking about listening to a sermon.
Yeah.
But I was just laying there, and I kind of put the phone underneath a coat or something, and then I was laying my head on the coat, and I was listening to the sermons. And just having, you know, that kind of downtime where you mm-hmm. can really focus on listening to a sermon or mm-hmm. spending time on the Bible app. You know, I used to carry a Bible with me all the time, like a little Bible.
With the YouVersion Bible app, that takes the need out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so just to have 3-4 hours every day where you just sit there and thumb through, you know, scripture or listen to a sermon mm-hmm. or even worship. And now, honestly, there are times where I'll carry headphones, and this may sound weird being in nature and listening to a sermon, but it's not, it's
you
just
get to focus on just that.
Yeah.
And not all the things that are surrounding you.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you get to focus on nature, but not the, I don't know,
the
for
chaos.
Because otherwise you're like, oh, I need to do this or this or this or this.
How awesome though is it to study the Word of God in some of the prettiest sights in the world. I mean, just up on top of a mountain, yep. like you said, you're just admiring his creation and what he's laid out before you, and you're being able to study his word. That's it don't get any better than that, I don't think.
Well, and I think that's one of the things I love about hunting with you and Dustin and Marty too, is that, you know, like this last year when we were in Colorado elk hunting, or this last season, I mean, there are so many good, encouraging conversations that we have, just in, you know, building off of each other, what God's speaking to you about, what he's speaking to me about, and sharing that. And when you come off the mountain after having these really impactful, powerful conversation about what God's doing in your life.
Yeah.
And to me, it even makes what God's doing in your life even stronger, and
it amplifies it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It makes it more real when you get to share those things. And because if I was up there by myself and I had that conversation with God, and you know, I may not share that when I got back home or whatever, and with you guys. But it's just awesome having you there, and just like I said, just helping each other out, encouragement, and that's what makes being in the woods hunting so awesome, is just growing closer to God.
Yeah,
hunting with buddies kind of helps with that too.
Not to mention, when you look into the details he's put into animals, you know, he's created, it is absolutely insane. You know, like what is it, Phil Robertson on his, he has the Unashamed podcast, when he says, what department of saltwater made that, you know, because a lot of people believe saltwater became saltwater. I mean, like spoonbill, for example, and I thought of this today, spoonbill have these tiny electric receptors, I guess is the right term, that pick up an electromagnetic field that zooplankton, their food source, emits, and that's how they find their food. And they look like little dog prints all over their face and bill. Like,
it's insane.
Who created that? Like, you know, you know, there is, I don't know, for me it's a no-brainer just to,
and for God to pay that much attention to that little of a detail.
Yeah.
Like, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, these things are so powerful that they can pick up microplankton, and, you know, I don't know exactly how big micro is, but it's pretty dang small. So, I mean, really, or like just the fact that when a water hits a certain temperature, and it's not an exact temperature, it's different just a little bit every year, but when it hits a certain temperature or a certain barometric pressure, they know to just run up the river and spawn. And that's all fish. Like, that's all fish pretty much in our lakes. How the heck do they know that, you know? Somebody programmed it in them, you know. Or a white-tail deer, you know, like this is our time of the year, the deer in rut.
Right.
I mean, it's just magical November. Like, how do they know it's time to breed? Like, chase does, you know, the does are going into estrus. It's just insane to me that this was something programmed into them, and there is a creator of that. You know, I don't know how a guy could be a hunter and believe that there isn't a God. You know, it's pretty simple to me,
you know. You said something about just like the difference between the characteristics of different animals, and, you know, when I look at a whitetail and I look at an elk, you know, obviously they're two different things, or two different subspecies or species. But when we were in Colorado and that moose came in, I mean, he was right there. He was up close and personal. And I was sitting there looking at his face, and he looks completely different. It's like, for whatever reason.
And he's still in the deer family, but he's a whole different deer.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
he's a different,
an elk deer. The difference between an elk and a deer, there are definitely differences.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people, I mean, they kind of look similar. But a moose is, and the thing that got me about the moose was, it was his eyes. they are completely different than a deer or an elk, or I've never seen a caribou, but it was just, it's like he's a whole different being.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there thinking, like, why was it that God made that moose, or made moose so much different than anything else?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just think it's cool to see God's creativity and, why he created and designed certain things certain ways. It's pretty amazing.
And not to mention, like, when you dig deeper into that, and so you're on just one specific species for a whitetail, for example. I know over the years, like, I usually have a target buck. The last 2 years haven't been very good examples of that, but usually I have a target deer that I chase, you know, like, and you study these deer. You, like, you know everything about these deer, how, like, aggressive they are, or if they're more shy to other, you know.
Right.
And it is amazing how different each individual deer's attitudes are, or, like,
their own personality.
Their own personalities.
Yeah.
And then you think about all these animals he's created, and everything has a different personality, just like us, you know.
Yeah.
It's just amazing that he's put that much work into just I don't know. It's blowing my mind. I'm blowing my own mind right now thinking about it. But it is. It's so dang cool. And I don't know. He never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah.
And honestly, most of my God moments have came in a hunting related, I guess, scene, or a fishing related scene.
Yeah.
And he always seems to amaze me.
You know, it's interesting. You said, I forgot what you said, but there is, even the people that I have guided before that I don't know if they have any sort of relationship with Christ, I feel like when they go out and experience the mountains or the woods, they whether they'll say it or not directly, you know, they walk away and they know that there's something that created that.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
You know, we try to have that conversation with them, that God was the one who created that.
Exactly.
And you can't be out there and say, "Wow, that was neat."
Yeah.
You know, or whatever.
No. Saltwater made that.
Every
you can't.
Everybody out there walks away in awe.
Yeah.
And
especially if they've never been there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So me and Mara, we're not really sure when we're going to use it or what we're going to use it on, but we've been working on, like, this little sermon, and it's all about your purpose. Like, it's all about what we are created to do. And I believe without a doubt that my purpose was to share God's word through the outdoors, just like what we're doing with this podcast. This podcast is I don't know, what's the word?
Manifestation,
I guess, of my purpose. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so guiding is, you know, so, like, whether I have the God talk or whatever with the clients, or have some sort of talk with them, I try to plant some, even if it's a little seed, I try to plant some sort of seed.
Yeah.
Right.
In them, you know? And so I do. I think everybody that we take or whatever at least leaves knowing of his existence.
Right.
I mean, you know, whether they know him by the end of it or not, you know, is different, but they at least knows he exists.
Or they at least get to see an example of a Christ follower.
Yes.
Because, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
I know you guys have told me, like, just with different, like, hunts and stuff like that, that guys go on, like, it's not necessarily a godly experience.
Yeah.
And so I think just being able to show them that, that's out there, like, I feel like
what makes you so happy? Well, I follow God. You know.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before, but you were talking about when Remington was fishing and he ran into that guy on the river.
Oh yeah.
Part of that is Remington.
Remington could talk to you literally a wall.
But
I had a client
tell Tommy, me and Tanner took took them bow fishing. And they text Tommy after the trip or whatever, and they're like, well, Tanner's quiet, but Remington, he could talk to a rock.
I always tell people my husband talks more than me, and they don't believe me. And then they're like, wow, I cannot believe you met somebody who talks more than you.
I absolutely love people. I'm a people person. Like, you know.
And that is who you are.
It
is. There's no denying that. But we've talked about this before. There is something unique about hunting and fishing, though, that connects people that you don't even know.
So for you
to run into a guy on the river fishing,
we've already got a similarity.
That connection and that bond is stronger than any other interest that's out there.
I can't
think of one thing, whether it's sports or hobbies or whatever.
The only thing I could think of would be the military. That kind of brotherly bond.
That is true.
But I know exactly what you're saying.
There's something so unique about hunting and fishing.
And honestly, it makes introducing Jesus to them that much easier, because they already, you know, once you tell them what you do for a living, or tell them you've already got some sort of cred, you know. Like,
and I think that's why it makes your life group work that you guys started.
We've got
that, but
I don't know if we mentioned it on the podcast, but
no, I don't think so.
We started what we call a life group at the church, where it's a hunting. It's pretty much just like the podcast, only we've got some awesome guys involved, and we talk about hunting, fishing, and Jesus, and it just don't get any better.
It works. It works. You guys have such a good, like, even if you just met them, like, it's not that hard to talk about hunting and fishing.
And it honestly makes it so much easier to introduce Jesus to them. But
well,
this has been a good one.
Yeah, it's been fun.
I'm not fired.
You're not fired. Your debut.
I honestly was super excited
I think there ought to be a sequel. I honestly think we need to do an episode where all the wives are on.
Oh, don't be saying that.
There could be. I don't know. We may. Yeah.
I think it would be good to get them all on.
I think so too.
So
it'd be fun.
It actually, it kind of, the more I think about it, makes me a little nervous to have all you guys grouped up on us.
Yeah,
but teamed up.
Oh gosh,
we can handle one of them. I don't know if three of them together, if we could handle them all.
Yeah, we'd be outnumbered for sure.
Yeah,
we'd be running the podcast.
I have a feeling you guys would, no doubt. But So what's the plan, just for everybody that's listening? Are we going to start doing every other week now, or no? We missed out on a few, we know, while we were in Colorado, and we just had some stuff come up.
Right. I'm not sure yet. Okay. I think that's definitely something that we need to talk about. And yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah. We haven't really made an official decision on it, but we kind of decided that we're chasing our tail in too many different directions right now, so we've kind of had to cut some stuff out. We're still going to do the podcast and everything, but we're not sure exactly what our schedule is going to be like on it. So
we'll keep everybody posted.
Yep,
for sure. But I want to thank everybody for listening, and again, thank you, Mara, for being here.
Yep.
It was a good one. I felt like it was.
Yep.
So.
And by the time this podcast comes out, the Peterson hunt will probably be over with, but we definitely could use some prayers for the veterans on their, I guess, return home.
Right.
And their families.
And their families, yes, most definitely.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thanks again, everybody, and we will talk to you next week.
Stay tuned.
Thank you for taking time to listen to this week's edition of Tuned In Outdoors. Make sure you check us out on Facebook and search for Tuned In Outdoors. Join us again next week as we share our passion for the gospel and the great outdoors on the Tuned In Outdoors podcast.